بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين. يسر اخوانكم في مكتبه الواحدين ان نرحب بفضيله الشيخ عبد الله بن صنفيق الضفيري حفظه الله تعالى، يواصل شرح اول كتاب نواقض الاسلام لابناء التلاميذ في جزر البحر الكاريبي والولايات المتحده واستراليا. فليتفضل الشيخ. انا مشكور على مجهوره.
نبدا؟
اي تفضل شيخ.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد، فكنا قد تعرضنا إلى الناقض السابع أو الناقض السادس من نواقض الإسلام، وهو قول شيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى: من استهزأ بشيء من دين الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم أو ثوابه أو عقابه كفر. والدليل قوله تعالى: قل أبالله وآياته ورسوله كنتم تستهزئون لا تعتبروا قد كفرتم بعد إيمانكم. وكنا قد تطرقنا إلى سبب نزول هذه الآية، وهو أن منافقا قال في غزوة تبوك، قال عن الصحابة وعن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: ما رأينا مثل قرائنا هؤلاء أرغب بطونا ولا أكذب ألسنا ولا أجبن عند اللقاء، يعنون الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. وبينا أن الوحي نزل آمرا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لأنهم إذا جاءوا يعتذرون أن يرد عليهم الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم بقوله: أبالله وآياته ورسوله كنتم تستهزئون لا تعتذروا قد كفرتم بعد إيمانكم. فالاستهزاء بدين الله أو بآياته أو برسوله كفر مخرج من الملة. وهذه الآية تدل على أمور عظيمة، أنه يجب احترام وتعظيم الله عز وجل وإجلاله، وأن تنقص الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم كفر، كما هو كما أنه من يتنقص بالله ويستهزئ بالله كفر. ويفيد أنه أيضا يجب احترام القرآن وتعظيمه لأنه كلام الله عز وجل، وكذلك احترام سنة الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. كذلك يفيد بوجوب احترام العلماء لأنهم ورثة الأنبياء، الله رفع من شأنهم وأعلى من مكانهم، كما قال عز وجل: يرفع الله الذين آمنوا منكم والذين أوتوا العلم درجات. فهؤلاء المنافقون أو أحدهم، وأصبح الأمر عاما لأنهم سكتوا مع أن المتكلم واحد، وهذا يدل على أن من تكلم بمنكر ولم ينكر عليه جلساؤه فإن العمل يشملهم والحكم يشملهم وإن لم يعملوا به. فهؤلاء وقعوا في هذه الجريمة لما تكلم هذا الرجل الشقي عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأصحابه، فقال: ما رأينا مثل قرائنا أشبع بطونا أو أكبر بطونا وأجبن عند اللقاء وأكثر ألسنة. يؤخذ منه أن الذي يتنقص العلماء من أجل علمهم أي وقت أنه يدخل في معنى هذه الآية الكريمة، لأن هذا قال ما رأينا مثل قرائنا، والقراء هم العلماء، وهذا يتناول العلماء في كل وقت. العلماء لهم احترامهم وإجلالهم، لأنهم يحملون كتاب الله وسنة رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم، ويحملون العلم ويبلغونه إلى الناس، فيجب احترامهم. والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول فضل العالم على العابد كفضل القمر على سائر الكواكب، وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن العالم لا يستغفر له من في السماوات ومن في الأرض حتى الحيتان في الماء. العالم له قدره واحترامه، والمراد بالعالم أي العالم بشرع الله. قال تعالى إنما يخشى الله من عباده العلماء، فالعلماء هم أهل خشية الله، لأنهم يعرفون الله حق المعرفة، وهم يجلونه ويعظمونه ويخشونه. كلما زاد علم الإنسان زادت خشيته لله عز وجل، فيجب احترام العلماء وتوقيرهم، فمن تنقصهم فإنه يكون داخلا في معنى هذه الآية، قل أبالله وآياته ورسوله كنتم تستهزئون. اليوم كثر التنقص من العلماء الربانيين، حتى من المنتسبين للدعوة، فبعض الجماعات يلمزون العلماء، بل يلمزون بشيء بوصفهم بأمر عظمه الله في القرآن كمسألة علمية شرعية، فهم يلمزون العلماء بأنهم علماء حيض ونفاس، وعلم الحيض والنفاس عظمه الله في القرآن. يقول عز وجل يسألونك عن المحيض قل هو أذى فاعتزلوا النساء في المحيض، ورتب الله عدة المرأة على طهرها من الحيض، فتنتهي عدتها بطهارتها من الحيضات الثلاث، فيجب أن يتعلم المرء باب الحيض، ورتب على معرفته أحكام الصلاة والطهارة وانقطاع المرأة عن الصلاة والصوم حتى تطهر. لهذا الإمام أحمد رحمه الله تعالى جلس في باب الحيض 9 سنوات، وهؤلاء اليوم يلمزون علماءنا فيقولون عنهم علماء حيض ونفاس، هذا من الاستهزاء والعياذ بالله، وهم يدعون الدعوة ويدعون الجهاد. ومما تدل عليه الآية أيضا احترام عموم المسلمين أفرادا وجماعات، فهذه الآية فيها عبر وأحكام عظيمة ينبغي للمسلم أن يتأملها ويتدبرها لئلا يقع في شيء مما حذرت منه. وهذه الأمور كثيرة في الناس اليوم، الاستهزاء بالدين والعلماء، والاستهزاء بالسنة والقرآن كثير، ويقولون الكتاب والسنة لا يصلحان في هذا الوقت، والسنة لا يحتج بها لأنها من نقل الرواة، كما أن خبر الواحد لا يحتج به، إلى غير ذلك من المقالات الشنيعة التي تقاسمها أهل البدع. كذلك مما يكتب في الصحف ويذاع أو يبث في وسائل البث من تنقص دين الإسلام والاعتداء عليه اليوم الشيء الكثير، فلو كان هذا من الكفار لهان الأمر، لأنهم أعداء للإسلام ظاهرا وباطنا، وليس بعد الكفر ذنب، ولكن المشكلة أن هذا يحدث ممن ينتسب للإسلام ويدعي العلم أنه يتنقص الأحكام الشرعية والآيات والأدلة الشرعية، وأنها ظنية لا تفيد العلم، وما أشبه ذلك من المقالات الشنيعة أو الكلام في العلماء والوقيعة في أعراضهم، وأنهم علماء حيض ونفاس، وأنهم علماء سلاطين ومداهنة، وما أشبه ذلك من المقالات الشنيعة التي يرددونها ويكتبونها مما لا يخفى. كل هذا داخل في الآية الكريمة، وعلى صاحبه من الوعيد ما ذكره الله من هذه الآية. والله عز وجل ذكر أن الكفار يسخرون من المؤمنين ويتنقصونهم. قال تعالى: إن الذين أجرموا كانوا من الذين آمنوا يضحكون وإذا مروا بهم يتغامزون وإذا انقلبوا إلى أهلهم انقلبوا فكيهون وإذا رأوهم قالوا إن هؤلاء لضالون. يصفون المؤمنين بأنهم ضالون، ويصفون هذا الدين بأنه ضلال. يقولون هذا الدين يعوق على المدنية والرقي والحضارة وما أشبه ذلك من المقالات الفاسدة، وأنه في زعمهم الدين لا يصلح لأهل الزمان. وكذلك يستهزئون بسنة الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم ويقولون إنها قشوع، إعفاء اللحية، إعفاء حف الشوارب، ويقولون أنتم مشغولون بالقشوع وأن استعمال السواك من القشوع وأن إنكار الإسبال للثياب من القشوع. يقولون: دعوا الناس يلبسوا ما يشاءون، وأن سفور النساء من الكمال، وأن الحجاب من القشور. بل يقولون إن الشرك وعبادة القبور من الأمور الهينة. هذا كله من المقالات الفاسدة التي تدخل في الاستهزاء والتنقص لدين الله عز وجل، وهو محادة لله ورسوله، والتنقص لكتاب الله وسنة رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. وهذا كله زعم باطل وتهوين للدين. وبعض الجماعات يقولون كلاما خطيرا، يقولون أننا إذا انشغلنا في الإنكار على الشركيات، وإذا انشغلنا على الإنكار على البدع، فرقنا المسلمين، ونحن لابد أن نقف ضد الإلحاد والملحدين. وهذه دعوات يقولها من سيف الإسلام والدين كالإخوان المسلمين. يقول الفوزان حفظه الله في الرد على هذه الشبهة، يقول: نقول لهم: والشرك وعبادة غير الله أليس هو من أعظم الإلحاد؟ بل هو من أشد أنواع الإلحاد. والذي يسب الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم والصحابة رضوان الله عليهم هو من الإلحاد. الذي يسب الصحابة ويتنقص عائشة أم المؤمنين ويصفها بما برأها الله منه، هذا متنقص للرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم ومتهم له، وأن في أهله سوءا، وأنه يقر السوء في أهله، سأل الله العافية، وأن الله اختار لرسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم زوجة فاسدة، هذا تنقص لله ولرسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم، وأن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم رضي بها وهي فاسدة، هذا كفر صريح، وقد رد الله عز وجل هذا الأمر، كما قال عز وجل: والطيبون للطيبات والطيبات للطيبين. الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم طيب، ولا يقدر الله له إلا طيبة. وكذلك يتنقصون الصحابة رضوان الله عليهم، يكذبون الله تعالى الذي أثنى عليهم، كما قال عز وجل: والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه وأعد لهم جنات تجري تحتها الأنهار. فهؤلاء المهاجرون والأنصار هم الصحابة رضي الله عنهم، وهؤلاء يقولون: الصحابة كفروا ولم يبق منهم على الإسلام إلا أربعة. فهؤلاء ألا ننكر عليهم هذه المعتقدات الفاسدة، أو أننا نسكت عنهم وهم يكفرون أبا بكر وعمر وعثمان ويتهمون أمنا أم المؤمنين بزعم تجميع المسلمين؟ أليس هذا من الاستهزاء بدين الله والجهل؟ هؤلاء دعاة شر وإن تسموا بالأخوة الإسلامية، ولكن يريدون القضاء على الإسلام، وهم مطية الرفض والإلحاد في الحقيقة. فما انتشر الإلحاد إلا من وراء هذه الجماعات الفاسدة، الإخوان التبليغ وغيره، وما انتشر الرفض إلا من ورائهم، لأنهم يقولون نجتمع فيما اتفقنا عليه ويعذر بعضنا بعضا فيما اختلفنا فيه. فهؤلاء هونوا الولاء والبراء والحب والبغض في الله. لهذا لما كانوا يسمحون للرافضة بإلقاء محاضرات في مصر، تشيع أقرب الناس لحسن البنا، وهو أخوه عبد الرحمن البنا، فإنه تشيع هو وأهله بسبب سماحهم للرافضة في إلقاء محاضرات على المسلمين أهل السنة. تشيع أقرب الناس لحسن البنا، فهذا كله من الاستهزاء بالله عز وجل، ومن التنقص لدين الله سبحانه وتعالى. هذا والله أعلم، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد.
أحسن الله إليك وبارك فيك، نفع الله بأمكم شيخ.
مرحبا، حياكم الله.
السلام عليكم. I know about Sheikh Abdullah Musalfiq, may Allah preserve him. Again, this class is an explanation of the Prophet of Islam, praising Allah as the Lord of everything in existence and invoking his salah upon our Master Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We even said that in our previous, in our last class, we mentioned something of the sixth of the Nawafid al-Islam, the nullifiers of Islam. And that is the statement of Sheikh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul-Hab, rahimahullah ta'ala, meaning the sixth of these Nawafids. This statement, making fun of anything from the religion of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, whether rewards or Allah's rewards or punishment. Whoever does so is guilty of kufr. The evidence is Allah's statement. Say, was it Allah, His ayah, His messenger that you are mocking? Make no excuses. You have committed kufr after your iman. We mentioned in the previous class the sabab al-nuzul, the reason for the revelation of this ayah, which was that there was one of the munafiqeen during the Battle of Tabuk who made an insult about the Sahaba and about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said that we have never seen the likes of those reciters of ours, anyone with greedier bellies or more lying tongues, or anyone who is more cowardly on the battlefield. And when this took place, the revelation came down to the Prophet ﷺ, informing him of what had happened and commanding him what to do. That if these people were around when the statement was made, insulting the Prophet ﷺ and his companions, if they were to come apologizing, that he shouldn't say anything to them. He should simply recite to them what Allah had revealed about sincerity. قل بالله وآياته ورسوله كنتم تستهزئون لا تعتذروا قد كفرتم بعد إيمانكم. Say, was it Allah, His ayat, and His messenger that you are mocking? Make no excuses. You have committed kufr after your iman. Indeed, making fun of the religion of Allah, making fun of His ayat, making fun of His messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is kufr, something that removes the person who does it from the religion of Islam. This ayah from the Book of Allah Azza wa Jalla shows us the obligation of respecting, revering, glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, never mentioning anything negative about Allah azza wa jalla or His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that doing so is kufr, which removes one from the fold of iman. Just as anyone who makes fun of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a disbeliever, also, this ayah shows us the obligation of respecting the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of His Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Furthermore, shows us the obligation of respecting the ulama, the scholars who are the inheritors of the Prophet. Indeed, Allah azza wa jalla has raised the rank of the scholars, put them on a high, lofty status. Allah says, رفع الله الذين آمنوا منكم والذين أوتوا العلم درجات. Allah raises those who have been given iman from you, those who have believed from among you, and those who have been given knowledge and rank. So on this occasion, that was the reason for the revelation of this ayah, there was a munafiq. It was one of the munafiqeen, one of the hypocrites. And he made this statement, mocking the Prophet ﷺ. And there were other people present who were actually believers. But this ayah that made the ruling that all of them left the religion, even though there was only one person to make the statement, the reason is that the other people present didn't rebuke him for what he said. They just kept quiet. They listened to these statements mocking the religion and kept quiet. So the ruling applied to everyone present. This wretched individual who made this criminal statement, saying that we've seen no one with greedier bellies or more lying tongues or who are bigger cowards on the battlefield than those reciters of ours, shows that it is haram to speak ill of the scholars of Islam. How is that? He said, those reciters of ours. Who is he talking about, the reciters? He's talking about those who recite the Quran and understand the Quran and understand the deen, the ulama. And so, the sahaba that he was referring to, the ones who recite and understand and live by the Quran, they were the scholars of that day and time. And just as this ruling applied to that munafiq, that he insulted the scholars of those times, and every day and time after that, the same ruling applies. Making fun of the scholars of Islam in any day and time is kufr. The same ruling applies. The scholars are to be respected. They are to be given the reverence they deserve. The reverence that Allah gives them in this religion. The respect that the Prophet ﷺ talked about when he said that the virtue of the scholar over the worshipper is like the virtue of the moon over the rest of the stars. And indeed, the scholar, everything seeks forgiveness for the scholar. Everything in the earth, everything in the sky, and even all of the fish in the sea seek forgiveness for the scholar who teaches people good. What is meant by the scholar is the scholar of Islam, the person whose knowledge is not of worldly matters, but knowledge of the deen. Allah says, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. It is only the scholars who truly fear Allah, because they know Allah with knowledge and evidence and proof. They truly fear Him. The more that a person increases in their knowledge of Allah, the more they are fearful of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Therefore, insulting them takes the ruling mentioned in this ayah. قُلْ أَبِاللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ وَرَسُولِهِ كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَهْزِئُونَ لَا تَعْتَذِرُوا قَدْ كَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ. Say, is it Allah, His ayat, and His messenger that you were mocking? Make no excuses, you have committed kufr, your iman. So mocking the scholars is an act of kufr. In our day and time, there's much mockery made of the scholars. And fortunately, some of those who are guilty of doing this are the people who claim to be at the forefront of calling to Islam. The people who busy themselves in da'wah, the different Islamic activist groups and da'wah organizations. They are the very ones who are mocking the scholars of Islam. And part of what they make the butt of their joke, the punchline for the way that they mock the scholars, is an issue which is something that has a status in the deen. It's an issue of knowledge, an issue of fiqh, something that has rulings in the deen. An issue pertaining to an issue that governs the acts of worship of the believing women. The believing women. The issue of menses and postpartum bleeding. This is something that has legal rulings that affect the acts of worship the Muslim woman. These are very important issues. They have rulings in fiqh. They're important. Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned verses about these in his book. يسألونك عن المحيط قل هو أذن فاعتزل النساء في المحيط. They ask you about the menses. Say, it is something harmful, so avoid the women in the menses, meaning avoid intimacy with the women or intercourse with the women during the menses. Allah Azza wa Jalla has made the iddah, or the period that the divorced woman has to observe before remarrying, based on her menses. This is something that Muslims must learn. It's something that rulings revolve around. The salah of the woman stops and starts based on her menses. The fasting of the woman stops and starts based on her menses. This is nothing to be made fun of. This is something in the deen that has rulings that revolve around it. Very important things. The most important things for the believer. The pillars of her deen, her fasting and her prayers. It's nothing to be joking about. The people make fun of the scholars of Islam, saying they don't know about current day issues. All they know about is their wife's underpants. All they know about is menses and postpartum bleeding. This is how they mock the scholars of Islam. Imam Ahmad Muhammad rahimahullah ta'ala said that he spent 9 years just learning about the different rulings of the menses and postpartum bleeding. And yet today, they mock the scholars, saying that they don't know anything other than menses and postpartum bleeding. And the people who make these insulting statements, they are the ones who claim to be inviting to Islam, claim to be doing da'wah, claim to be doing jihad. They're guilty of these statements that, as we see, according to this verse, Surah At-Tawbah, is kufr. This verse in Surah At-Tawbah shows us the obligation, not only respecting and revering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His verses, His religion, His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the inheritors of His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who are the scholars, but it also shows us the obligation of respecting the general Muslims, and that we are not to mock the believers. There are many rulings and lessons that can be learnt by pondering this ayah. Making fun of any aspect of the deen, anything from the sunnah, is an extremely dangerous affair. Yet it's very common in our day and time. In our day and time, there are people who are saying that the Quran and sunnah are not appropriate for this day and age. They're old-fashioned. They're not appropriate to rule the lives of the people in our day and time. They go on saying statements about rulings from the science of hadith, like the ruling of something that was reported by one single narrator, and the people of bid'ah, they have all these statements to make about belittling things that are of importance in the deen. We find this in the newspapers and television, elsewhere, people making fun of the religion of Islam. If the only people making fun of Islam were the kuffar, that would be one thing, because they're open enemies of Islam. Of course they're going to make fun of us. They're enemies of Islam. The problem is, some of the Muslims themselves are the ones making these statements that constitute kufr. If you're only the kuffar who are making fun of the religion, that would be understandable. Because Allah said, لَيْسَ بَعْدَ الْكُفْرِ ذَنْبٍ. After kufr, there is no sin. There's no sin worse than disbelieving in Allah Azza wa Jalla. The problem is that not only are there Muslims who are making these belittling statements about the religion of Allah Azza wa Jalla, but there are Muslims who have put themselves at the forefront of the da'wah, and they're the ones making these statements. belittling the scholars of Islam, calling them scholars of dollars, and scholars who are slaves to kings and leaders and presidents and people who keep quiet about the truth because of authorities. All of this is part of making fun of the scholars, mocking them, which is mocking the deen. And all of this carries the possible punishment mentioned in this ayah, Surah At-Tawbah. Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions that the kuffar indeed make believe and make fun. They make fun of the believers. He says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ أَجْرَمُوا كَانُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يَضْحَكُونَ. Indeed, the criminals, the polytheists, they used to make fun of the believers. They used to laugh at them. وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِهِمْ يَتَغَامَزُونَ. And when they passed by them, they would wink at one another as if to make fun of the believers. وَإِذَا انْقَلَبُوا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ انْقَلَبُوا فَكِهِينَ. And when they returned to their families, they would return having fun, enjoying themselves by making fun. وَإِذَا رَأَوْهُمْ قَالُوا إِنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ لَضَالُّونَ. And when they see them, when the disbelievers see the believers, they say, they are astray, they are lost. And so, this is a statement of the believers, of the disbelievers. This is a statement of the disbelievers. They point at the righteous believers in Allah Azza wa Jalla and mock them. Say that they are lost. Say that their religion is worthless. In times of old and in times of present. Even in our day, they make these statements about Islam. They say that Islam is not a civilized religion. It's nothing that's appropriate for ruling and governing the lives of people in our day and time. It's something that's old-fashioned. And even those who claim to be Muslims themselves make similar statements. They may mock the religion of Islam itself. They may mock aspects of the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah. This takes the same rule. Constitutes kufr. Mocking something from the Sunnah of Allah's Messenger of Allah is kufr. In our day and time, they say that certain aspects of the Sunnah are like shells. They're not from the core of Islam. They're not important. There's just these exterior things, these little exterior things that are unimportant. So they say things like allowing the beard to grow and trimming the mustache and a woman wearing hijab and so on and so forth. These are little insignificant things. You guys are focused on minor issues. There are bigger issues in Islam than that. You're just focusing on these issues that are around the crust. They're not at the core. Some of them even say that committing shirk and worshipping graves, these are simple things. These are not big, nothing to blow out of proportion. No big deal. And this is without doubt. Going to war with Allah and His Messenger, making such statements. All these claims are false. In disregard for the religion of Islam. Some of the modern day da'wah organizations say that if we busy ourselves with speaking out against shirk and bid'ah, that we're going to split the ranks of the Muslims. We're going to become divided. We can't do that. We have to be united. And we have to stand all together against the atheists. That's what we should do. Don't busy ourselves speaking out against shirk. Busy ourselves speaking out against the atheists. And who makes statements like these? The Ikhwan al-Muslimin, the Muslim Brotherhood. Sheikh Saleh Fawzan Hafidhullah Ta'ala said, in refutation of such statements, but he said, they mention these things, that shirk is not to be at the front of our call. He He said is, but that rather that atheism should be what we focus on. He said, is shirk not the greatest form of atheism? Is shirk not the greatest manifestation of atheism? Rather, it's the most severe type of atheism, committing shirk. And those who insult the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum ajma'in, and those who insult the mother of the believers, Aisha, radiallahu ta'ala anha, and accuse her of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared her innocent of. Is this not the greatest form of atheism? Is this not blasphemy in and of itself? Those who claim that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have a despicable wife, a sinful and filthy woman for a wife, are they not guilty of the greatest form of blasphemy? Those who say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would choose for his messenger an immoral woman, a corrupt woman, and that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after coming to know of the corruption of such a woman, would keep her and stay married to her, are they not guilty of the greatest form of blasphemy? Does Allah azza wa jal not say طَيِّبَاتُ لِلْطَيِّبِينَ وَالْطَيِّبُونَ لِلْطَيِّبَاتِ, the good women are for the good men, and the good men are for the good women? Was the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not good? Was he not the best of men? How would Allah choose for him a bad woman? And so they speak ill of the Sahaba, the companions of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those whom Allah azza wa jal spoke highly about, they speak ill of. Allah said about the Sahaba, سابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعوهم إحسان رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه. And the first forerunners of the Muhajirin and the Ansar, and those to follow them in excellence, Allah is pleased with them, they should be pleased with Him. Then some other people come after Allah has said this, that Allah is pleased with the companions of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They come and say that no, all of the Sahaba were apostates, that they all left Islam after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and only four of them remained Muslim. SubhanAllah. Are we going to keep quiet about these people? Keep quiet about them and say that we're going to focus on the atheists? Are these not the atheists? Are these statements not the greatest form of blasphemy? The ones who make takfir on Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman radiallahu anhum, are we going to keep quiet about them under the guise of uniting the Muslims? The truth is that people who make such statements are evil, and they are inviting to evil, and they want nothing other than to do away with Islam. They claim to be calling us to Islam, and they want nothing other than to destroy Islam. And these groups are the likes of Ikhwan al-Muslimin and Jama'at al-Tabligh. These are the ones who allow such statements to be made and keep quiet about them and say, let's just be friends. Let's just unite. It was not possible for the Rafidah to have any platform to speak on except by following and being a tail to such organizations. Ikhwan al-Muslimin and Jama'at al-Tabligh. Nobody would listen to them until they clung on to the tail of these organizations who told everyone else, let's just be quiet and, you know, be united. That's what opened the door for and gave a platform to and gave a mic to the Rafidah to spread their evil. They didn't have a voice until these people who claimed to be calling to the Sunnah, who claimed to be calling to Islam, gave them the platform and handed them the mic. They said that there is no love or hate for the sake of Allah. And they refused to make inkar for such blasphemous ideologies. At the forefront of them was Hassan al-Banna and his brother Abd al-Rahman al-Banna. They were the ones who opened the door for the Rafidah to come give lectures to Ahl al-Sunnah in Egypt. They were the one who opened the door for them, set up the platform for them, and handed them the mic, and told the Shia to go, told the Rafidah to go teach the people of the Sunnah. All of this is mocking the deen. All of these are manifestations of kufr, things that nullify one's Islam. Ask Allah to protect us from that, and Allah knows best.